You know, it's funny when you start a new project. Maybe I'm crazy in this world. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you can agree, relate, whatever. But when you start something new and you kind of throw something out there, and I think that a lot of the guests on the show can sort of relate to this, but I think the average everybody can relate to this really, is that when you put out a new project, you get in your own way a little bit. You get inside your head, you start to overthink a lot of things, you start to doubt yourself a little bit, and play some weird mind games with yourself. And then it's easy to not prioritize something. And I'm not, you know, trying to look for a sob story or whatever, but I thought, hey, on a podcast show, you can really share whatever the heck you want to share. So that's been some of the delay on that for me. And I'm working through the process of just getting over myself in order to continue to put forth the show. Because in the meantime, I have met so many incredible people and had so many great ideas for future shows and conversations to have on this show. And when I think about it, when I talk about it, when I share the idea with people, it fires me up. It's exciting. Have you felt like this before? Have you been in this place before? Am I totally crazy? Send me a note on social media and let me know what you're thinking about that. But that's kind of where the delay has been. So I still wanted to share with you some great conversations that I had behind the scenes at the Canadian Country Music Awards in 2017. So we're going to put out kind of some mini episodes over the next few weeks to kind of get those conversations to share and then get some other material out to hang out with you. I don't think any of these conversations are expired, even though we had them back in the fall of 2017. I think when I caught up with artists like Sycamore and Aaron Goodwin, who are on this week's episode, they're just great conversations where we get to find a little bit more and dive into a little bit more of their life. So we're going to do that now. We're going to jump in. Thanks to our friends at Linden & Oak Coffee and Linden & Oak Catering in High River. They've partnered with us for this episode. Check them out online right now at lindenandoak.ca. How has, I guess, this crazy world, you've been living in Nashville for the last several years. So you're an Alberta guy who was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna move there and I'm gonna go for it. Yeah. How has that been for you?
Well, it's proven to pay off. You know, it's. But I want, like, if I wanted to, I've always been like, if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it the best possible way I can do it. You know, and be the best I can be. You know, that's always kind of been my goal. And so. Moving to Nashville is a no-brainer, but I'd already started taking trips when I was 18, writing songs and doing all that stuff. And so when I eventually made the move, it was pretty natural for me to make it. But it was very challenging those first few years, just trying to get something going, something, you know.
Yeah.
But we got it going. So it's one of those things. I started writing songs with people I like to write songs with, and They became big. You know, Cole Swindell was one of them. I wrote tons of songs with him, and you know, Luke Bryan cut one of them, and then that allowed me to kind of stay, you know, in Nashville and get a paycheck
and get groceries
groceries and find a place to live, and instead of living on my manager's couch, you know.
Yeah.
Those stories are all true, by the way. The ones that people say.
So, no, but, it's like know, the real life of what it takes to be
absolutely.
This. And so you started out as a songwriter first, or were you always a performer as well?
I started performing. Like, I loved to perform. That was my main thing. And then I found out that I could kind of write songs. There was a guy that came up to Edmonton from Nashville and just saw us in the most random place, kind of one of them serendipitous type things. And he was basically like, hey, you're a great writer. You should be in Nashville. And I was like, let's go. You know, I was always obsessed with like who wrote what song on records. And like, I always loved that aspect of the industry. So when it came time to do that, he brought me down there. He drove me to all my co-writes, and that's how it all kind of started for me. And then I became a writer, and then I kind of, you know, once I had some success there, I was like doing what I really wanted to do, which is be an artist. So
yeah, which feels kind of cool. And I feel like that's a crazy place of trust for you, you know, to have this guy, like, hey, I want to make you a star.
Yes,
like, come get my van.
And I was like
and
18.
I'm
yeah,
you
he just literally
like,
had a van.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he had like a van, like a green.
With no windows.
A green. There was windows, but it was a green van.
Yeah.
Like if there was three of us riding,
yeah,
one of us had to sit on a box, like a literal, like a yeah. Tupperware box in like behind us. Like
yeah.
The rest, yeah, it was a van.
It's yeah. crazy. So. How did you do that without freaking out, or did you a little bit?
I didn't care.
I was young and
I could have got through anything at that point. So, you know, he did a lot for me in the beginning, like got me all those co-writes. And
yeah.
I was riding with people I had no business riding with, you know, like
yeah.
I was new to town, but I was riding with great riders. So it was a quick learning process for me. And then I was able to continue riding with those riders when I came back. And I just kind of kept doing that.
And I feel like a cool behind-the-scenes piece of not only just CCMAs, but the industry in general is the songwriting portion of it. Because a lot of times, you know, as fans on the outside, it's your song and we love it. And we don't, or we love Blake Shelton's song or Luke Bryan's
yeah.
song or whoever's song. And we don't think about the writers sometimes. You're sort of the forgotten heroes of what's making
Absolutely.
Country music.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. They're a huge part of, like, when I think of Nashville, I think of songwriters. I don't think of artists, and I don't think of,
yeah.
you know, it just really is a town full of, like, brilliant, brilliant people that are so good at what they do. And, you know, and like, why wouldn't you want to learn from that? And why wouldn't you want to, you know, that's why I moved there, you know. I'm so glad that I'm an artist now, but I moved there to be I moved there to learn how to write songs. That's why I went there. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of people who can have a great look and have a great act and put on a great show, but a great song
yeah.
is what really makes it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you forget about that.
You do. You do. And it's very important. I know with my career, like my artist career, I've always based everything off of the music, you know, and that's usually what I tell other artists on their kind of on their way up. I was like, if you don't have the music, you don't have anything, in my
yeah.
opinion, you know. And so many people try to put other things first, you know. They're like, well, I got to look like this. Well, yeah,
yeah,
don't worry about that, you know. Like, get to the music. What's the music sound like? What's that, you know? And that's the way I've done my own career, you know. I didn't make a record. I made a whole record that I shelved one time because I was like, this isn't ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just who I am as an artist, and I wanted the music to be there, you know. So I had to get it there. So.
And tell the story. So do you have like a, I don't know, a shelf of leather-bound journals full of songs? Like, how do you keep that stuff? Is it all electronic anymore?
Yeah,
I picture leather-bound journals.
Right, yes, journals.
They smell of mahogany or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have, they're all laptops and stuff like that. And I have years and years of songs. That,
yeah.
Years.
How many songs do you write before one becomes the one you record next? Is there a weird ratio?
Depends. I don't know that there is. I know, like, the ratio is definitely better than it used to be, you know. It's like, I used to have to write 10 to get one good one, and then now I can usually write 10 and I can find a handful of them that, you know, if produced differently or this lyric was changed or if this, that you can generally make into something really cool. So, you know, but, you know, writing is a way of life for me. I was just telling another guy that, like, I go home and I'm back to writing songs. I just go in and write songs. That's what I do. It's
and it
like
probably
job,
happens,
you know,
all the time
yeah.
when you're driving, when
yeah.
you're walking,
oh,
when
absolutely.
You're whatever.
Absolutely.
They
like,
just pop into your brain.
I come up with the most ridiculous song ideas in the most ridiculous places. Yeah.
What is?
Mostly
give me
bathroom.
An example
mostly
of like
bathroom.
Something that was bad. Oh, like, in the bathroom.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah,
in
well,
the
that's
bathroom.
That's a great office. I don't care
it
what
is.
Anybody says.
It is.
Yeah.
I go to the bathroom and I come back. I was like, I got it.
Yeah.
I got the lyric, guys. They're like, you should go to the bathroom again.
So you
I was
eat
like,
a lot of
just go write
you
the
eat
song
a lot there? Of bran muffins yeah. to keep up with your songwriting. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, that's great.
So if you want to make it in Nashville, you should be regular.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This exactly. is going to be the highlight of everything we do. This is your new brand.
I love it. That is hilarious.
So you need to make some Aaron Goodvin brand buds or something like that.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Musil. Meta Goodvin.
We're going to come up with Meta Goodvin. We're going to come up with a name right now.
Yeah, there's going to be a new merch. You wait. It's going to happen. It's going to be
it's going to be really cool.
What's your favorite thing that happens behind the scenes at the CCMAs?
Mostly it's just like the people, you know, like I find people fascinating, you know.
Yeah,
I really
me too.
Do.
That's why I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah, I literally find them fascinating. Like just how different people do different things and how they hold themselves, and I find it all very fascinating, you know. I used to drink a lot. I really don't drink anymore. Now I just like people watch.
Yeah.
You know,
it is the most
fun. It is. I love it. And I love, but most of the people, like a lot of them, like I always see them like festivals and like where I was like in passing, you know, like two ships passing in the night, like yeah. I'm doing a show and they're leaving. And so here you get to actually like hang out and get to know people.
Yeah.
Which is just fascinating to me.
Do you have any secret handshakes that you do with people like that?
No.
Do you think those will make a comeback or
maybe
or what? I don't know.
We could try
looking
and
for
start
some
something.
Ideas.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to, I don't even know how to shake hands. I think sometimes I go in and I'm too tough, you know?
Yeah. Do the pound thing.
And I do the pound thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way for germaphobes now, right?
Right.
Too. There's always that.
Yeah. Like here's my knuckle. Yeah.
I'm thinking, are the knuckles really cleaner than the other side of your hand? Like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like,
who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Just break that down. Germaphobes. Yeah. We're just breaking that down for you right now.
You might want to rethink your thinking.
Maybe there's a song in there.
Maybe.
I don't know. But it's
rethink
pretty cool.
Your thinker.
And we're, I think from, you know, being an Alberta-based show, we're proud that you're one of our peeps.
Yeah.
That is just
living
the dream and doing cool things. And good luck with what the rest of that journey is for you.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it all goes. You know, it's going up right now, so we're just going to keep doing that.
And maybe, you know, there'll be a new series, like In the Can with Aaron Goodvin.
There you go.
And you could dive into where the ideas come from.
Where all my ideas come from.
Yeah.
I like that.
Just do it.
In the Can.
In the Can.
Love it.
Love it. Thank you, my friend, for hanging out today.
Thank you for having me, honestly.
Sycamore, how many years has it been that you've been kind of entrenched into this crazy scene we have here now?
Well, this is my third CCMAs that I've been to, and honestly, I feel like it compounds every year. Like, the first year, I don't actually know if... I'm sure Radio Row existed in Halifax, but I didn't end up going because I didn't have anything else radio at the time. And then last year, of course, I had Houseboat, and so we did that in London, and now we're here. We're in Saskatoon, and... I feel like it kind of just gets crazier and cooler every year because we know more people, cooler opportunities come along, and so it's really interesting to see how it kind of grows year by year.
Now, for a lot of people, when you think, okay, you've been to three CCMAs, you're relatively new on the scene,
right.
But you're not new to the music that has infested your soul and is a piece of the makeup of who you are. So does it feel weird to be considered new when maybe you don't really feel it?
Yes and no. I think, like, because there's such a learning curve with the music business, I still very much feel like I'm learning a lot about the industry side of it, but then of course you have just the purity of the music and writing and stuff like that, and that I feel is a little more like my bread and butter, and so that I feel a little more secure in. But I'm always up to learn about just how this industry works and just make connections and stuff like that. So it's kind of a half and half, I'd have to say.
Is it a weird sort of bridge to gap between the artist creative side and then this business side? Because I don't know if a lot of people honestly look at music and country music as the business entity that it is, but it's like it's huge.
It's quite a business, and it's something you might even think, like a casual observer might think, that the artist doesn't really have to deal with any business stuff because they might have a team of people that helps them with it. But the truth is, even as an artist, there is a certain level that you're expected to understand and you're expected to uphold, and so you do kind of have to put on your business boots once in a while. And I've actually learned to really like it. I actually really like the marketing side of things. I like understanding stuff like target demographics. And like, it all sounds really nerdy, but like, I just find it's really quite interesting to figure out, just as an artist, where you're most effective and how you can have optimal success in certain areas. And so, as much as I really wasn't great in school or anything, this is an education that I actually prefer because it furthers something that I actually want to do. But you don't really think about it. I think you gaze upon an artist and you think, oh, you know, like, their manager does everything for them and they kind of just show up and sing the songs. And it's not true. Like, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and just little things, even just picking, you know, graphic design for stuff and like wardrobe changes and venue bookings and stuff like that. Like, as the artist, you're consulted on all of that. So you're the CEO of your own company, basically.
Well, and I think it doesn't sound as glamorous, right? So I don't know if people really talk about that piece. And has there been, I mean, obviously there's a growing and learning piece for you, as you've discussed, but has there been, what's been like that challenge moment that you were, where you questioned, do I really want to do this? Have you had a moment like that?
I have had a moment, or maybe moments like that, where it really just comes down to, it becomes most evident to me in those moments where I have to sacrifice something that in the moment I might rather want to do. Like last year, I was at my sister's, and it was around Christmas time, and they'd had some friends over, and they were all eating pizza and watching Elf, and I had to pack and kind of prep for a trip that I was taking the next day. And I remember in that moment feeling kind of lonely, and I just wanted to go watch Elf and have pizza, and I couldn't, and I had to go drive somewhere, and then I had to go to the airport, and it was kind of, the trip I was taking wasn't necessarily fun. It was a lot of meetings and a lot of admin, and I remember I've had a few moments like that where I truly have to choose, you know, I have to sacrifice some personal stuff. And in those moments, you do wonder if it's something you truly want to do. But at the same time, then you ask yourself, well, what would I rather be doing? And you can't really answer, you know, because you want to be doing this. And so, you know, it's not always easy, honestly, just like anything. But in the long term, in the big picture, this is what I see myself doing. And it's just a compromise you have to make, honestly.
Yeah. Now, when you talk a little bit about some of this, you know, these are the behind the scenes pieces that happen in the industry. What's your favorite or most interesting or intriguing piece of what's happening behind the scenes at the CCMAs that fans who join, or when you tune into that show at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, that you don't even realize happens here?
The thing that's always really fascinating to me is how much, especially stuff for TV, how much little wardrobe tricks happen. Like, you look at somebody and you don't realize how much, like, double-sided tape they're wearing and, like, stuff like that, because it all just looks, like, it kind of looks effortless. Like, you know, it's like, how is that guy's necklace not bouncing around while he's singing? It's like, it's because it's taped, you know, or just little tricks like that. It's so funny. So wardrobe stuff is definitely really fascinating to me.
It's like magical.
It is magical. It's
I
crazy.
Need magical wardrobe tape. I feel like we should go find some and just...
We should. I need to invest in some, I'd say.
Well, we could really... Like, we could just tape people and see what happens. Like, we could go on a taping mission
something. They might not even know it's on them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The things that, you know, the possibilities that are endless, really, at Canadian Country Music Awards Week. So, you grew up in a small town in Alberta.
Yeah.
Do you love that you have that sort of foundation behind you going into a place where, I don't know, do you ever, like, sitting in here right now, if you look around, it feels like we're in Toronto, and we're like, are we, and what are we doing?
I love knowing that I have that foundation, and just, like, I grew up in a small town, I also grew up on a farm, and so just kind of having that, those roots to kind of just set you and land you wherever you end up going, I think it makes you more authentic, more personable. Nothing against people who grew up in the city, but, like, I love bringing my experiences from my upbringing and weaving them into my songs and into my brand. And I love knowing that other kids from small towns and from farming communities can see a little bit of themselves when they watch my videos or hear my music, and it might inspire them to do the same or to go after what they want to do, and just don't let the potential limitation of living in a remote location stop you, you know? And yeah. So I think it's great. I'm really proud to be from a small town, and I don't really care about, like, appearances, honestly. Like, it's just, it's who I am.
You don't like it, suck it.
Exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Well, thank you for taking time in
this
whirlwind of activity. And we're going to have you back on the show again real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks to special guest Aaron Goodwin. You can catch his brand new song, available where you download songs right now. It's called Miss Me Yet. And of course, big thank you to Alberta girl Sycamore for being on the show. Her new album has officially hit, called Self Medicine. The new song, it's called We Were All Right. Go check it out on Spotify or download it now. Also want to say thank you to our sponsors of episode 2, Linden and Oak Coffee in High River. They're also a great catering company. You can find out more details, their whole story, because the story of how their name came to be is quite an interesting one. Go check it out right now, lindenandoak.ca. Thank you for producing the show to our friends at Limelight Audio and Media.